Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message.
We are the righteous of God through Christ. Now, my text is going to come from 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." I first want to just touch on who we were before Christ came, humanity before Christ, okay? And the problem with our unrighteousness or human righteousness before Christ, if you want to turn with me now in Romans 3:10, we're going to go from 10 through 20. Romans 3:10 through 20. It says, "As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follows them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those who it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." Whew, that's a lot to take in. That's a lot to take in. See, from the beginning of the scripture to now, humanity, we face one fatal truth. We are not righteous. No, not one. See, if it was left to ourselves, we can't produce the kind of righteousness that satisfies God's holiness. We can't produce it on our own. We can't satisfy God's holy standards with our righteousness. We may live a righteous life, you know, where we do good. We may even live a religious life where we're coming to church and Bible studies and things like that. But in Isaiah 64:6, it reminds us that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Okay, our righteousness are as filthy rags. I want to give our men's group a shout out. All right, Abundant Life, y'all, you should be proud of the men that goes to Abundant Life. You know, we meet every morning on Saturdays. We come here for a meeting, and you got to be proud of these guys because we got a group of men. I was raised predominantly in a church where there was mostly women. So to see men come together, fellowship, grow, and just sharpen each other, the scripture that says iron sharpens iron, it's true. And we see it on Saturdays, every Saturday. So I want to give those guys a shout out because yesterday we was talking about how you can have a relationship with God. And you can't talk about having a relationship with God unless you talk about what he's done for us with righteousness, okay? I made a comment, I shared a little story. I was like, you know what? Anybody that came to God with, you know, I got 100 people saved, I did this, I go to church every day, I said God would probably stop them right there and start laughing at them. And then maybe open up the pearly gates a little bit and say, "You see what I done? You know, I got billions of people in here. I've done this for you. I've done that for you." So our righteousness does not measure up what anything we can say to God that we've done on our own does not measure up to what he's done for us already. All right, let's look at our condition before Christ. Before we had Christ, let's look at our condition. We were spiritually blinded, unable to see God. We were unable to see God. We were spiritually blinded, unable to see God. We were morally bankrupt. Okay? Our debt, the debt that we owe, we could not pay. We were morally bankrupt. And we were legally condemned. By the law, we were legally condemned. The law demands a perfect obedience or death. That's what the law demanded, perfect obedience or death. This is not, you know, this is not just ancient theology or just happened back in the Bible days. It was our reality. Okay? It was our reality. Our problem is not simply that we committed sin. It was that we were sinners. We were sinners. And the disease of sin ran through our core. But before we can understand the beauty of righteousness, we must understand how guilty we were under the law. When you understand our righteousness, you got to look back and see when you can really appreciate God making us righteous, you got to understand how guilty we were under the law. Okay, the law shows us our need for righteousness. Okay, we know the Ten Commandments. That's tough. And so the law shows us our need for righteousness. The law shows us our need for Christ. And guess what? God provided it for us. God provided it. God initiated our righteousness. He initiated our righteousness. Let's go to Romans 3. We're still in Romans. Sorry. Let's take 21 through 26 now. Let's just go down a little bit more. The next verse over down to 26. It says, but God, this is the good part. Now, Romans, what we just read, Romans 3, 10 and 20 showed us who we were without Christ. Now we're going to get to the good part. But God, Romans 3, 21 and 26, but God now has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of the glorious standard, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead. Thank God for looking ahead. For he was looking ahead and included them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The first part says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the law. See, this is perhaps one of the greatest turns of all scripture. One of the greatest turns of all scripture. The God who demands righteousness, he supplied it. He supplied righteousness for us. See, God did not compromise his holiness. He didn't lower his standards for us. You know, He satisfied his own demands with his son. He used his son to establish righteousness for us. R.C. Sproul, he called this the divine dilemma. The divine dilemma. So how can a just God justify the ungodly and still remain just? The answer is, he provided a substitute. He provided a substitute. God made his sinless son to be sin for us. He made his sinless son to be sin for us. Not by nature, not by imputation, meaning Jesus was charged for our fault. Jesus took our fault. He took our sin. Christ took our guilt, and in exchange, his righteousness is legally credited to us. He took our sin, and we took his righteousness. That's a great substitute teacher right there, isn't it? That's a substitute. All right. No, that's a great substitute. Okay? He gets our sin, we get his righteousness. Roman, you don't have to turn here, but Roman, you can see God imputing his righteousness all throughout the scripture. Romans 4 and 3, Abraham was counted righteous by faith. You got to have faith. You got to believe that you're righteous. Philippians 3 and 9, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So faith, having faith is how you receive righteousness. Isaiah 61 and 10 says, he has clothed me with his garments of salvation. He has covered me with his robe of righteousness. So we can say this, that the heart of the gospel is this. God treats us as we live the life of Jesus because he treated Jesus as he lived the life of us. As Jesus lived our life, he lived this sinful life so we can be made righteous in God's sight. Well, this leads me to my next point, the exchange on the cross, okay? The substitute that Jesus did. When Jesus died on the cross, an unthinkable exchange took place. Christ took our sinfulness. He bore it fully. He took every drop of the cup of wrath that was designed through the law. He took it. He received his righteousness, his obedience from the birth to his death, and counted it as ours. So imagine standing in the courtroom, okay? And there's a guy standing there, he's guilty. Guilty guy up there. And the judge takes off his or her robe and stands in the place of the guilty one and switches places. That's what Jesus did for us. We were guilty of sin, but Jesus took our place. God created Jesus to take our place. He sent his son to take our place, to exchange our sin for his righteousness. And this exchange, it's not a partial. It's not a partial exchange. Well, I'm going to take that away. It's not temporary. It's not sometime. It's all the time. It is total. It is permanent. He took all of our sin permanently. As long as you are receiving the righteousness, as long as you have faith in his righteousness, this is permanent. See, when Jesus was on the cross and he took his last breath and he said, "It is finished," the debt was paid. The debt was paid. When he said it was finished, the debt was paid. The justice of God is forever, and it satisfies those who are in Christ. So knowing this, you can live your entire Christian life confident that your righteousness standing before God is secure. It doesn't matter if you've accepted God day one or 100 years. You are righteous day one as you are 100 years. And it's not because of, you know, it's not because of our progress in holiness or our good works, but because of our position in Christ. That's where our righteousness comes from, our position in Christ. So, how do we live out our righteous identity? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Ephesians 2 and 10. Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are God's masterpiece. Have you ever been called a masterpiece? Huh? Have you ever been that? I like that. Masterpiece. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good thing he planned for us long ago. So when Jesus declared you a righteousness, he also made you new. When we accepted Jesus, he made us new through his righteousness. The righteousness created you to begin to manifest as righteousness expressed through you. Going back to our men's group yesterday, Caleb, he made a statement and he said something and it, you know, it blessed the whole group. Yesterday, Caleb said something like, I think he said, righteousness in Christ should bring you to do good works. Not our good works. We bring our good works to Christ. Our righteousness in Christ should bring us to do good works. Yeah, y'all see, we growing. We growing in there. So your good works doesn't make you righteous. Our righteousness in Christ should bring us to good works, which we know God's work is good. So when you know Jesus stood in your place, see, when you know Jesus stood in your place, you should want to do his work. There's two things, there's two eras, and there's two things that we must guard. And I also talked about this with grace, and it also stands with our righteousness as well. Number one is legalism, trying to earn what Christ has already accomplished. Trying to earn righteousness, but Christ has already accomplished that for you. We don't have to earn it. We receive it by faith. And then license, using righteousness as an excuse to sin. That's not true righteousness. Okay, that's not true faith. You know, true righteousness produces gratitude, and gratitude produces obedience. As Paul says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And in my Bible, it had an exclamation mark. So in English, they said exclamation mark, meaning you meant that. God forbid. See, our new identity, our new righteousness, it condemns and it motivates, it should motivate true holiness. See, we work from acceptance, not for it. See, our work should be from acceptance from God. We don't work for it. We obey out of love and not fear. So kind of what Mr. Bill was saying up here when we're giving and tithing. It's not, oh, God gonna strike me. No, we obey out of love. We serve in gratitude, not guilt. We should be glad to serve. You know, our head coach, he says this to the players sometimes. Some of them complain about lifting and practicing and things like that. And he gets on, your attitude should be, I get to work out. I get to lift. It's going to make you better. That should be our same attitude with God. We get to come to church. We get to come to church and hear his word and grow. I get to read the Bible and learn more. I get to pray and worship. It's going to help us grow. That should be our same attitude. So every morning, when you wake up knowing you're righteous before God is unchanging. Even when you stumble, Christ's perfections speak louder than your failures. I'm going to say that again. Our righteousness is unchanging. Even when you stumble, Christ's perfections speak louder than your failure. I want you to get this, Abundant Life. Your righteousness is not a feeling. But in a fact. So my righteousness is not a feeling. You don't feel righteous. It's a fact. You are righteous. Let's go over to Romans 8, 1 through 4. And I love this scripture. Anytime you're feeling inadequate, anytime you're feeling guilty, all you got to do is turn over to Romans 8, 1 through 4. It says, so there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the living, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, not partially, but fully, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. If that's not enough for you, let's go to Jeremiah 23:6. And in Jeremiah 23:6, it says, and this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judea will be saved and Israel will live in safety. See, Jeremiah prophesied the name of the Messiah. So Jeremiah was before Jesus came, and he prophesied the name of the Messiah, the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. So this means that righteousness is not a reward, it's a relationship. Righteousness is not a reward. You know, it's a relationship. It's not something we achieve. It's something that we receive. We receive righteousness. This truth of our righteousness in Christ transforms our worship. We no longer stand before God trembling in guilt. Oh, Lord, you're praying sometime and you just, Lord, I know I messed. No. No, we don't stand trembling under guilt. God doesn't see that. He sees us as righteous. We can stand secure, clothed in the spotless garments of Christ. We can pray boldly, serve joyfully, and we can even face death peacefully. Okay, the scripture says, 8:1, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not a temporary relief. That is the final verdict. There's no condemnation in those in Christ. I think sometimes we're harder on ourselves than God is. We're harder on ourselves than God is. When all we have to do is accept Christ's righteousness. See, if you are in Christ, you're as righteous before God right now as you will ever be in eternity. Right now, all the way till we get to heaven, we're righteous. The same righteousness. It's the same righteousness. I love this right here. Your sin cannot undo what his blood has sealed. Your sin can't undo what Jesus' blood has sealed for us. And I'm so glad about this. You don't need to perform for God's love. You rest in it. You don't need to perform for it. We don't have to put on a show. We just got to rest in it. We can get into this thing of comparing ourselves, self-condemnation, despair. No more, because we are righteous. Our righteousness should drive our assurance. Your righteousness should build your confidence. Now, let it humble you. Why? Because it cost Christ everything. Our righteousness cost Christ everything. So that should humble you right there. Not just on Easter, but when I see the stories, you know, of Jesus carrying the cross, and you've seen the movies, and it's just like you see the pictures of him taking the stripes, the crown of thorns on his, carrying the cross, it humbles you. You're like, man, he did all that for me. He took all that for me. That should humble you. And then let it increase your gratitude. Why? Because he stood and accepted it. I'm accepted in the beloved forever by God. What he did made me accepted by God. No work. I don't have to try to impress God. All I got to do is accept his righteousness. All I got to do is accept his son. All I got to do is have faith in what he's done for us. So we can say the Christian life is a continuous return to this truth. Not I, but Christ. So when we get ourselves out the way and just say, Christ did it, not me, Christ. See, our hope, all of our hope rests on his spotless record credited to us. His spotless record is credited to us. And I'll conclude with this. At the heart of the gospel stands a great exchange. our sin laid on him, his righteousness laid on us. This is the anchor of our assurance, the end of self-resilience and the beginning of true joy. See, when the devil comes, and he'll come. And this is how you answer him. Don't answer him, you know, with your progress. That's not how you answer the devil. You answer him with Christ's perfection. You don't have to tell the devil, well, I did this and that, and he's gonna try to condemn you. No, you didn't. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. God, Christ is perfected in me. He is perfected in me. And that's all you got to tell him. When he tries to bring doubt, he tries to bring unbelief, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's all you got to reply with. That's all you have to reply with. So like 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, He hath made him to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now that we know our righteousness, we know that we're righteous in God. That's what we need to start professing. Instead of saying we are sinners, let's say what God says about us. We are righteous. We are righteous through God in Christ.
Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.